opportunity to come before you, and even though we will be interceding later, we know, dear Father, that the pastor will be doing his preaching during this hour down there at Blaine Community Church. But then also, I pray, dear Father, for them when they do travel home, safety in travel. I pray for this man named Bob Miller, who attends the Blaine Community Church, and the surgery that he's going to be needing. We pray extra care and skill for the surgeon, and pray, dear Father, indeed, that you would bring him through this successfully. And I pray for Brother Gary Sauer as he gives his report regarding the ministry at RIT and Brockport College. We pray, dear Father, that you would use him to inform the people there at First Bible of the ministry. And then for these three students who will be sharing their testimony, we pray, Father, that you would use them, and it would be particularly effective in the life of their classmates who are going to be there to hear them. Now this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, announcement-wise, on Friday, the teens will be cleaning. Pizza at 5 o'clock and then cleaning following. And, of course, we already stated that there'll be no Bible study here tomorrow night. I think that's it by way of announcements. So we're ready to preach. If you'll turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 is our text. We'll be looking at more of this chapter eventually. But 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The need of America has always been what I'm about to declare, but especially it is true in the day in which we're living. America's problem is not in the White House. It's not in the Pentagon, the Capitol, or even the State House. It's not even in the governor's house or the schoolhouse. You know where this is going, don't you?
Sir.
The need is in the church house. In our social life, we are to honor all people, as verse 17 says. Notice it says to fear God. Now, there's times where the word fear carries with it the idea of reverence. But fear, when the Bible tells us to fear God, you can think of fear in the sense of being afraid of God. Because if we disobey God, if the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, we reject him, we don't heed him, or if we know what the Bible says and we just flat out disobey it, we ought to be afraid because of the judgment that God will bring on us. And he will chasten his children. He will not just, you know, sometimes earthly parents, they get weary in parenting. And so something goes on and you know, something said and continues, and it ought not to be, but it happens. They just get weary, and God doesn't get weary. When God tells his children not to do something and they do it anyway and continue, and the Spirit of God convicts them and the Word, he'll bring somebody maybe in a Sunday school lesson or a sermon or a song even that a person might listen to, and God will remind them of it. And if we ignore the chastening of God, then indeed judgment will come. And so, and that's something to be, we revere God, but we need to be frightened of God. Because he will not allow his children to continue on. and so whether it be a king or a governor, and we are supposed to, according to this verse, to honor them. Richard Halverson, who was a chaplain of the United States Senate, he made this remark: "We're quick to criticize political leaders, but slow to pray for them." And you know, I'm afraid that is true too many times, and especially if the politician is on the other side of the aisle, the other side of the fence, the other side of an issue, and yet we're told to pray for them. All right, now I want to read, if you will look in 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." We're strangers and pilgrims in this life, okay? We have a kingdom we're going to. We have a home in heaven we're going to. And in that sense, we're strangers and pilgrims in this life. And we're told to abstain from fleshly lusts because they war against our soul. Now, it doesn't say because. It says which war. But the reason we are to abstain from them is because they war against our soul. And we give ourselves such trouble and grief when we don't abstain from fleshly lusts. And lust, you know, many times when we think of lust, we think of sexually oriented things. And that is included. But lusts are evil desires. So it's not just fleshly lusts in the sense of of sexual things, but just evil desires. And what's an evil desire? If it's not a godly desire, okay, then of course it would be an evil desire. Now, let me be quick to clarify that something may not be a godly desire, and it's just an ordinary human living thing, okay? And we can look at it, and we wouldn't have to say it's an evil thing. It's just a thing, all right? Now, that's you know, you say, well, that's cutting it mighty, mighty fine. Well, if we don't recognize that distinction, then if the thing isn't godly, like, you know, I got a desire to have a Whopper. I want a Burger King meal. I got a desire for that. Is that an evil desire? No. Is it a godly desire? No. It's just a desire. You understand? And so when we're talking here about fleshly lusts, fleshly evil desires, these are things that war against the soul. Verse 12, "having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers," So you see why we're not supposed to have evil desires. Not only do they war against our soul, but they give unsaved people a basis to criticize us. So we're to have our conversation, and you know there's times where the conversation word in the King James carries with it the idea of our conduct, which is revealed by the things that we say and how we talk. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, that visitation isn't when you go out knocking their door, okay? But we need to live in such a way that our godliness prevents them from so speaking of us. Or if they nevertheless do, because you know some people are just going to run their mouth on you no matter how good you live. But then others, okay, who'd hear them talking, they see our right living. They see our godliness. And so they know that this other person is just, like I said, running their mouth. Verse 13, "submit yourselves to every Is this really here? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, sent by the king, for the punishment of evildoers. I left something out there, didn't I? Yeah, I left an important thing out. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. This isn't just for our sake, though we may benefit. But then again, too, we may be persecuted. But we're still supposed to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, that was fine when my man was in the White House. But when somebody else's man is in the White House, well, I guess I won't read Peter. Okay? It isn't going to change it. Yeah, I may not read it, but it isn't going to change it. It's still going to be a requirement God holds us to. And so submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. It's for the testimony of God. It's for the things that people, I ain't going to believe. God, not the way I saw that person live. Why in the world should I believe in his God? You know, he lives just like I do. And, you've heard this sort of thing. Or unto governors who are sent to punish evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Verse 15, for so is the will of God. All right, verse 13 says, we're to obey the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake, and that's the will of God. So many times we want to know what's God's will. Now, often when people say, what's God's will? I mean, what's God's will for my life? Is his will for me to go get a job somewhere else? Is his will for me to move out of rent and buy a house? Is God's will for me to join this church? Is God's will for me to get another car? You know, that's often how we look at God's will. And it's a legitimate way to look at God's will. But there's a whole lot more important stuff about God's will that really influence the specifics that we wonder about. Should I move or should I stay where I'm at? Okay, what should I do about that? Should I change my doctor or should I stay with the doctor I'm at? How do I know what God's will is? When we are submitted to the revealed will of God in the scriptures, and here's one of the areas that he shows us what his will is. When we submit to the will of God as revealed in the scripture, now we'll be living in agreement with God. We'll be what the Bible says, walking in fellowship. If we walk in fellowship with him, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him. You see? Now we will be able to have the leading of his spirit in whether or not I ought to get a Ford or a Chevy. Now, depending on where you're at, you know, you don't need God's will for that. You already know which one's the better. But, you see, we want to know about the practical things. Well, God will lead us in those areas when we're submitted to him in these other things about our life. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of times people pray and say, I don't understand. I can't get hold of God. I just can't connect with God. I just can't find out what he wants in this. Well, maybe if we found out what he wants in these other things, he'd be willing to make the details clear. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Foolish men say all kinds of dumb stuff. And when they say it about us, okay, then Of course, it causes problems. But according to this, the will of God is that with well-doing we may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then verse 16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Now, when you study in the New Testament, there is a teaching that's called Christian liberty. We have liberty to do some things, all right? You may have liberty. One person may not have liberty for a certain kind of action, but another person, he can have liberty. This is illustrated in the scriptures when it comes to the matter of eating meat that was offered to idols. Should you eat a meat that's offered to idols or not? And Christian liberty says, yeah, you can eat meat that was offered to idols. Now, that doesn't matter to us because we don't go buying meat that's been offered to idols. But that was a problem they had in the New Testament times. Now, you and I have other problems that they didn't. But how are we supposed to go ahead and live and handle these things? Well, we have liberty. And there's some things that I don't have liberty to do that you have. I don't, and again, you can listen through this, don't turn off when I tell you what it is. I don't have liberty to play with the, what I call face deck cards. Thank you. I don't have liberty to play games that involve them. Just the influences, teaching I got and decisions I made, I don't have liberty to do that. But I have a son-in-law and now a daughter, they have liberty to do that. It isn't something that's going to be a problem to them. Okay? I grew up learning different. You say, well, can't you change? Well, sure I can. Can't you change too? And some things that you oughtn't to do or that you do and you ought to stop? Of course we all can. Sure. I'm not dealing with that. I'm dealing with Christian liberty. I don't have liberty for that. If that's not been an issue in your life and you have liberty to do it, well, you just go ahead and enjoy it. He says here in verse 16, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And so it is that some people, they want to go ahead and do what they want to do, and they're just going to throw around this matter of liberty. Well, I've got liberty to do that. And they try to cover up their maliciousness. Throw a cloak over it, you see. They try to cover up their maliciousness. Their wrongness, and they'll use the idea of liberty. Well, I have liberty to do that. Well, but if it's used as a cloak for maliciousness, then it's not a liberty matter. It's an obedience, disobedience matter. That's what he's talking about here. And he says there, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. We need to live as the servants of God. You know, any good thing taken out of context or taken to extreme can become a problem. Yes, sir. Okay? And we need to recognize that. You say, well, how do we know when it's gone too far? And go back to that same old thing. We need to be walking in fellowship with the Lord. We need to be living the way God wants us to live, doing His will. You know, you got a concordance. Some Bibles have a decent sized concordance in the back. A good Christmas present. Hey, Christmas is coming. You want to get a good Christmas present? Get each other a concordance for Christmas. Now there's big ones. I mean, like they're this thick, okay? And they're like this page size high. I mean, they're big. Every word in the Bible is in those concordances. Then you can just go to the will of God. See, now I also have many different study Bibles. One is a Thompson Chain reference. And in the back of the Thompson Chain reference, you can look up God, you can look up will, and then it'll even break down the will of God into different categories. In other words, there's resources out there that we can get to know what the will of God is. Do we really want to know what the will of God is? Okay. Another thing you can do is just read through the New Testament, for example. The Old Testament too, but let's just do with the New Testament. Just read through it, and every time you see the word, the will of God, then you write that down. Well, obviously, it's going to take you a little while to do that. And that's why I recommend you buy such concordance or other kind of resources. All right, now we come to our verse, where it says honor. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 different things here. All right? Honor all men. Honor all men. Even that rascal who lives next door and gives us nothing but grief over anything and everything that we want to do. Whether it's over the boundary line, whether it's where we use the snowball and blow the snow, okay? Whether it's the music we listen to, but honor all men. It's not specifying whether they're saved or not saved. He's not saying honor saved people. Right. No, he's just saying honor all men. We need to respect and honor in the sense of treating them decent, treating them right. And now, you know, we need to have right actions toward them, but we also, I think, ought to have a right attitude toward them. Now, I don't know about you, but I have no problem with having right actions toward some people. But as far as how I'm going to feel about them, that's another thing. I can have the right action while I have a bad feeling. And that's not good. That's wrong. Amen? That's wrong. So I need to have right actions toward them, but I also need to have a right attitude toward them. And therein, we got another. You know, anybody that says, well, I have a hard time praying more than 5 minutes. Oh, my goodness. How in the world? Just look at yourself and write down all of the things that just aren't the way they ought to be, and you already have got about 55 minutes of praying. Okay, I'm just joking there. I mean, I don't know how long it would take, but anybody who says, I have a hard time praying more than 5 minutes, I can't go into that. That's a whole other subject. But we're to honor all men, saved and unsaved. All men, those who are nice and those who aren't nice, those who are pleasant to get along with and those who are unpleasant to get along with. Honor all men. Is it easy? No. Is everything in life easy? If you think so, I won't go there. All right. Honor all men. I was going to go into a marital situation, but I won't go there. All right. Honor all men. Now, what's next? Love the brotherhood. We're to honor other Christians, but in addition, we are told to love them. Love the brotherhood. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to love Christian ladies, okay? the brotherhood there is speaking of the family of God. Look at Galatians. Keep your place here in 1 Peter. Galatians chapter 6. I find this verse particularly interesting. And I frequently will even reference it when I'm praying. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto other Christians. Is that what it says? Nope. Let us do good unto all men. That's the same thing Peter is telling us. Let us do good unto all men. And now look at this. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So Peter says we're to honor all men and love the brotherhood. We're not told to love the unsaved, because I believe the relationship that this love is expressing requires the person to be a Christian, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong for you to love in a human or earthly sense somebody that isn't saved. But we're making a distinction here where we're to love the brotherhood. And he tells us we are to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I know when you got a situation going on and problems exist in society, I will pray, God, help people in this snowstorm, keep them all safe. And Father, the electric will stay on. But I pray especially for those who are of the household of faith. Okay? You see, my relationship with other believers is different than what my relationship is with unsaved people that I come in contact with. And so we honor all men. We love the brotherhood. And then it says, fear God. Fear God. It is important that we recognize this matter of fearing God, because it is what helps us to do right. It's one of the things that helps us to honor all men. It's what helps us to love each other. The fact that we need to fear God, if we don't do what's right, we'll be judged for it. And then honor the king and the president, even when he's okay, party. we're to honor the king. Now, he has us honoring all men, which would include the king, but he gets very specific. And of course, you know, Paul has taught us in his letters how that we are to obey those who are in authority over us. And there's no clarification in authority over us that we like and get along with. Now, knowing that is one thing. Living it is a completely additional matter. It is not easy. And we need to just admit that. Okay, rather than pretend to be so spiritual that we love everybody in Washington. No, we don't love everybody in Washington. I don't even love everybody in my party. But I'm told to honor. I'm told to honor. And of course, I realize that love and honor are two distinct actions on our part, but we are told to honor the king. And so now the next verse is very specifically addressed to servants. Servants who are told to be subject to their masters with all fear. We don't have the servant-master relationship that's referred to there, but we do have an employee-employer relationship, okay? And we can see how the servant-master relationship can be applied to various relationships that we do have. And I'm saying that because I want to go to the end of it. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but, he tells us, also to the froward. That'd be the perverse, the disobedient, those who are willfully contrary to the benefit of man. You see, we're told to be subject to even the froward, not just the good and the gentle. Here again, we come back to the fact that we're to pray for those in authority. And as he tells us earlier in the verses that we already looked at here in the second chapter of Peter. And so, boy, we have a lot to work on in our Christian living, don't we? Oh, you're right. We sure do. But it is beneficial when we do. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. We need to remember that. God is still in control. God is still the one who's ruling and reigning. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So a fear of the Lord, that's how we begin to get wisdom, and the knowledge of holy living, of a holy God, of holiness, that brings understanding to us. And here again, that's a whole additional message, but I just share that much of it. So we thank you, those of you who have been watching on Facebook, and we're going to say goodbye to you as we go to our prayer times.